You're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. And now just a reminder of our election coverage here on the station, because the local election debates hosted by Keith Finnegan are on each evening this week from 6 to 8. It's a great chance to hear your local and European election candidates engage in a lively discussion and share their views with Keith from 6 o'clock. And today it's the turn of candidates from Galway West. So don't miss out on your chance to hear your local and European candidates outline their policies and share their visions for Galway City and County on your local election debates on Galway Bay FM each evening this week from 6 o'clock. And just going through the rest of them, we have tomorrow Connemara South. On Thursday, it's Athenry Oran Mór. On Friday, it is Galway East. Next Monday, Galway Central. Next Tuesday, Loughrea. Next Wednesday, Tuam. Next Thursday, Gortkinvara. And then the Monday of the bank holiday, the 3rd of June, Ballinasloe. That Tuesday, it's the EU election candidates. And on the Wednesday, there'll be more EU election candidates if we need to flow over to a second programme. So that's how your election coverage is looking here on Galway Bay FM. I'm joined in studio now by Joshua Byrne from our news department to discuss trending topics. Joshua, good morning. And we're starting off as an actor says that AI ripped off her voice.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, John, and one of AI's big names, OpenAI, which is obviously the company that created ChatGPT, has found themselves in just a small bit of trouble. So a very famous actor, Scarlett Johansson, has said that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has used her voice or a voice similar to hers for its artificial intelligence voice software. So apparently a few months ago she was actually offered the chance to voice this new AI, and the AI voice is dubbed Sky. So obviously we know Apple have Siri, so it's a similar concept. Now this one, I've heard Sky being used, and it's a seriously intelligent voice. You know, with Siri, you hear it and you obviously know it's AI, but mm-hmm. this one, it actually genuinely does sound like you're having a conversation with someone. So she has said that that the voice is too similar to hers is the only thing. And so it launched last week, but they've actually pulled it since because Scarlett Johansson has come out and said that the voice is too similar to hers. Mm. So this is part of ChatGPT 4.0. Which launched on May 13th. She is saying that they've taken her voice from the film Her.
And it's a great movie, actually. I saw it. Joaquin Phoenix plays the man in it, and he falls in love with his AI. Then all the AIs fall in love with each other. It's a bizarre dystopian type of movie, but probably a perfect one and a kind of disturbing one to be ripped off in this capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely with the theme, I suppose. And I can imagine how OpenAI would see a movie like that and think, you know, obviously it's
good fit.
Yeah, but in the movie, it's such an intelligent voice. It actually, like, you have genuine conversations with this AI, and it doesn't just sound like a robot speaking back to you. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson, she's sparred with big companies in the past, Disney, I think, one of them. So OpenAI might have a bit of a case on their hands here, but they've not commented yet on this, so we've no update to bring you from their side. But ABC News in Australia, so what they did was actually put a clip of Scarlett Johansson's voice, and they compared it with the AI real voice, so you can come up with your own conclusions on this one. We have it here for you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there. It's going great. How about you? I see you're rocking an OpenAI hoodie. Nice choice. Are you about to reveal something about AI? Or more specifically about me as a part of OpenAI? You've got me on the edge of my... Well, I don't really have a seat, but you get the idea.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, actually. It's really nice to meet you.
As I mentioned, Joshua, there's Joaquin Phoenix talking to her there. I do my homework sometimes, but moving on, though, the EU's AI rulebook passes its final hurdle.
Yeah, this is something we talked about a few weeks ago, the EU's AI rulebook. So what's happened here is they've actually, they've unanimously adopted the act, and it's set to be published in the EU's official journal in the coming days. The law is going to take place 20 days after publication, and compliance deadlines between AI companies will be staggered, starting at 6 months for AI systems that pose an unacceptable risk, and up to the end of 2030 for AI components of large-scale IT systems. So I just thought I'd give you a little update on that.
Mm. Now, the Northern Lights could light up our skies again as early as next month. That was a big event there, was it, what, Friday week ago? I didn't see them myself because I was at the Go Alumni Ball with Dave O'Connell. So me and him were looking at each other rather than the Northern Lights. We both, I think, would rather look at the Northern Lights. But it's going to be again next month, apparently.
Yeah, so there's definitely a chance of it. And I myself didn't see it either. I was in Tala, and I was in Tala that evening visiting family, and there was obviously a lot of light pollution that way, so I didn't get to see it myself. But yeah, so obviously we know that skies over the UK and Ireland turned pink and green last weekend with the Northern Lights. And so this spectacle came after the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the US issued its first severe solar storm warning since 2005. So this is kind of going into the technical side of it. So I was thinking that we might kind of go through this and try and understand why it happened, and maybe when it'll happen again, if there's a chance of it. So yeah, basically the NOAA are saying they had quite an enormous sunspot, about 15 times the size of Earth, and it was releasing a load of solar flares, and these are charged particles. So I'm not too sure of this myself, but basically that a load of energy was shooting towards the Earth, basically. A load of solar energy was shooting towards the Earth. And the last time they saw a storm of this magnitude was back in 2003. So obviously a huge event that took place, and a really rare one, and a really cool one as well. It caught everyone's attention, obviously. Mm. So apparently it's in the most active, the sun right now is in the most active period of an 11-year cycle, and this is why we could see it again in the next few weeks. So yeah, it's in its most active period of its cycle at the moment, which means that we could get a huge solar storm again. And hopefully we will end up seeing the Northern Lights again again soon. So I hope...
I know from listening to the likes of Brian Cox and others, what you're on about there is the magnetosphere around the Earth, and that kind of protects us from the solar winds and stops our atmosphere being ripped apart. But my understanding of it is that when the solar flares, this is very simply put though, when the solar flares come and hit that sphere, it kind of stretches it past the Earth like an elastic band. Mm. And then when that pressure releases, that's when them particles all charge and they head towards the poles. But in this case, they went nearly further down to the equator because it was so strong.
Yeah, I suppose I think that's kind of my, obviously I'm no expert on this kind of thing, but that's that would be my understanding of it as well. Yeah, they so instead of the poles just seeing these solar particles or these charged particles, they actually went further this time, and that's why we were able to see them, even as far as the US were able to see them. So yeah, hopefully it does happen again. But like I said, the sun is apparently in its most active period of the 11-year cycle. So. So yeah, hopefully we do see it again. Hopefully you're not at some sort of alumni ball and I'm not sat in Tala, so
not.
We get to see it.
Even for poor old Dave O'Connell's sake, I hope he gets to see them the second time around. But Joshua Byrne, thank you for joining us on Trending Topics. I believe that was your final Trending Topics with us as well, Joshua, so it was. I'm just going to put this little bit of music underneath you as well. This is Leaving on a Jet Plane. John Denver, but Joshua, all my bags are packed, you've been with us here for a few months in Galway BFM. Was it 9 months?
9 months now, yeah.
And how have you found it, or what have you learned?
Well, It's been a brilliant experience, definitely the most eye-opening experience of my life. So I'm here for anyone that doesn't know, I'm here on an internship from the University of Galway, a journalism internship. So I got to work with Keith Finnegan, yourself, all the team in the newsroom. And yeah, a great experience. It's a great place to work, and I've made friends for life in here, I think. So yeah,
because we even had the soccer up and running. That's taking a break now, but yeah, there's been a nice bit of camaraderie in the station. But in terms of, you know, doing a journalism course and trying to get into the industry, so you can't beat the hands-on experience and actually doing it and coming on air and mm-hmm. doing packages like this, trending yeah. topics.
I couldn't agree more. Like, you know, there is only so much you can learn, you know, in I suppose, an education setting. What you need to do with a job like this, if you are interested in journalism, if you are interested in media, it's hands-on, exactly like you said, you know, to get in and do stuff. But and there's stuff as well, if you're a young person who is maybe not of the college age yet as well, there's stuff you can do at home, you know, that you can, you know, you can create content, you can do that kind of thing. And I know plenty of people in this station, you know, started off doing that, and you know, they've gotten to great places here.
And we haven't put you off the journalism. What are the hopes of the future, Joshua?
I'm not too sure. I'd like to, obviously next year I go back to college, and I finish my degree. For the I suppose near future, a one-way flight is looking very tempting, so this song I suppose is quite appropriate. But I'll be back anyways in Galway for September, and I'll be going back to college then, yeah. And finish my degree, and who knows where we'll go from there.
Absolutely. We wish you all the best with your studies and with your work in the future, and hopefully you do stay in radio and carve a career out of it as well. But from all of us here at Galway Bay FM, Joshua, it's been a pleasure working with you. I want to play you out with Leaving on a Jet Plane by John Denver. Thank you, Joshua Byrne.
One more time, let me kiss you. Close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come, when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say,
of course he's not leaving yet, because he'll be with Keith Finnegan for the next few nights this week on the election debate, so do stay tuned in to our election coverage as well. So Josh will be helping out with that. We're coming back and we're looking at the Charlie Bird documentary next. Good morning.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
You're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. Now, Charlie Bird's documentary Ransom 79 is released in cinemas nationwide, including in the Paulas and the iCinema here in Galway. I'm joined on the line by the director of the movie, Colm Quinn. Colm, good morning. And I suppose very poignant now that we're getting this Ransom 79 following the passing of Charlie Bird.
Hi, John. How's it going? It's been a privilege to work on this project. It's been one that's been going on now for about the past 3 years, I'd say. It's just been a privilege to spend time in Charlie's company, and to see him doing, you know, what he has done so well for 40 odd years, which is his journalism and his storytelling. And it's been a poignant couple of weeks now, just with the film premiering, and obviously with the release coming up on Friday now. But yeah, we're proud of the piece, and I know Charlie would be proud of it as well.
Talk us through it. It's a remarkable story that he uncovered.
It is a remarkable story, and no better man than Charlie Bird to uncover such a remarkable story. It's one that was kept secret for over 40 years, I think it was, and it was revealed to Charlie by former head of the fraud squad, a fella called Four Golds Willie McGee, former Mayo footballer, and he was essentially on the front line of this story at the time, where it was essentially this gang started sending letters to the Department of Agriculture looking for £5 million, and if they didn't receive it, they would release foot and mouth disease on the country, which at the time in 1979 would have literally wiped out the economy. So it was a huge threat to make. And what happened over the ensuing couple of months was that this game of cat and mouse started to unfold between the guards, who were communicating with this gang secretly via the classified section in the Irish Times. Well, meanwhile, the gang were upping the stakes every couple of months with another letter, basically spelling out the threat and spelling out what their demands were. So I think what was interesting for this from Charlie's point of view was, you know, this was a formative period for him when the story unfolded. And this was, you know, when he was first getting going as a journalist. And I think that's the thing. He was almost amazed that he had never heard about anything on this at all. And I think that really kind of captured his imagination, just, I guess, because he knew the period and whatnot too, you know. So it was a story that he really wanted to tell, you know. I mean, even with the effects of motor neuron disease, like, Charlie was so determined that he wanted to tell the story, which was remarkable, really. And he worked with the journalist and playwright Colin Murphy, and together the two of them investigated this story to try and unearth who this gang were that were making these threats. And it's sort of the two of them together, when they go on the investigation, it sort of brings us on a sort of a journey of 1970s Ireland, you know, and what the country was like back then, and, you know, very, very different times, and very, very dangerous times as well. But it's been a privilege to work on it, like I say.
And for you as a director, Colm, how did you approach this? Is it a mix of interviews with Charlie, archive footage, reconstructionism? How did you actually go about it?
Yeah, it's sort of a mix of all of those elements, John. It's probably first and foremost, it's an observational piece between Charlie and Colin. It's following their relationship. Charlie and Colin did a play together a couple of years ago called A Day in May. They had this sort of, like, really, you know, great friendship off the back of that, and, you know, a real understanding of how they worked with each other as collaborators. And so we sort of felt that having that sort of central to the documentary, that sort of relationship between the two guys, would be something really interesting for an audience to see them at work, but to also just, you know, I suppose you get a real sense of what's going on for Charlie and how he's dealing with the illness and whatnot, because he speaks so frankly in Colin's company. That was one of the primary elements. But then obviously they're doing an investigation into a particular period, so there's archive from the period. There's Charlie got access to the letters from the gang that were sent to the guards and to the Department of Agriculture, the ads that were in the paper, you know, like all of these archive elements are in the mix. But we also reenacted the events from 1979, 1980. So there's key moments, you know, where there's a Garda stakeout at the Gresham Hotel, when there's one of the demands that the gang make is that they want the money, the £5 million, to be placed in a leather suitcase on the passenger seat of a white Mini and placed outside the Gresham Hotel with a particular number plate. So details like that, you know, just really, really outrageous details and outrageous demands. You know, there's a couple of moments like that that we reenact in the film. So there's all of those sort of elements in the mix between the observational stuff, the archive, the reenactments. But then, as part of the journey, we also speak with, you know, ministers of the day, like the Minister for Agriculture of the day was Ray McSharry. We did an interview with him, and then we also spoke with Jerry Collins, who was the Minister for Justice of the day. And yeah, we spoke with Bertie Ahern. Colin and Charlie put together an incredible interviewee list to really kind of give us a sense of the period. And we spoke with obviously Forgall's William McGee, retired detective Tom Connolly. There's all of these amazing contributors, like, really add up to, you know, give us a real sense of the story and the period. And it's a real kind of cross section of that period, you know.
Mm. Well, congratulations, Colm Quinn, the director of Ransom 79. It's in all cinemas nationwide this Friday. We wish you all the best of luck with it. It's an important piece of documenting public service broadcasting at its finest. Well done.
Thanks a million, John.
Take care. Now, that's Colm Quinn joining us, the director of Ransom 79. And I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend anyways, and that'll be going down to cinema and seeing Charlie Bird in action in one of the broadcaster's finest moments as an investigative journalist. Still to come on the programme today, though, we have live music, Music Mornings. Jack L will be coming and performing two pieces of music for us live. So all that and a lot more coming up on Galway Talks between now and 12 o'clock. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavé Road. A new way to car shop.
Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley, and I'm joined in studio by Jack L because he's playing in the Town Hall Theatre on the 31st of this month. That's a Friday of the bank holiday weekend, and he's going to start by playing one song from his new album. This is Battle of the Hawthorn Trees. done, Jack. It's a beautiful song. Talk to me about it and the new album.
Well, A Battle of the Hawthorn Trees is a kind of a celebration, I suppose, of one of our native trees, the hawthorn. I kind of wrote it during the old lockdowns, and I was trapped in my house looking out the window for a couple of years like everybody else, and got to see the hawthorn tree go from the black skeleton in the winter, as I say in the song, into, you know, the white blooming. As it's blooming now around the country, it's one of the nicest parts of the year, unless you're allergic to pollen.
Absolutely.
But it was a great picture of resilience for me, you know, the tree, the way it would look dead and then just come burst back into life. And I thought that was, a good yin and yang picture. And I thought it was worth a song. I met Duncan Stewart from Eco Why It's Something, and he asked me to write more songs about eco things. So I thought I'd include you, although I have done in the past as well, but... nature plays a big part in a lot of my songwriting. So it was nice to, and it's a great one live because it's got the old whoa, which people love singing on old whoa, you know.
I think as well as the environmental stuff, there's a nice, I suppose, metaphor to the human spirit and its resilience.
Yeah, well, it's topical too, you know, bless me mother, for, you know, I've spent all my money on these brittle things would be about, I suppose, the capitalist society we live in where we just buy things and think they're all, throw them in a hole and nobody knows where everything's going to go. All the world right there in your hand, you know, that's what a phone is. But it's got a lot of, old Irish kind of, she moved through the fair type metaphors as well, which is nice because that's what you kind of see when you look out with the Irish nature.
Yeah, the new album is called Echo On, and talk to us about it more broadly.
Yeah, well, it's quite a collection of various songs. I had begun it before the lockdowns, and then when the lockdowns started, I started doing the live streams, which I was doing for almost 2 years every Saturday night. We had a great thing going, you know, a big audience that would tune into those, and I ended up making a lockdown album of the live streams, and then we came out of lockdown and we were able to do the Tree Arena in Dublin coming out of that. So that was a whole roller coaster thing that was happening for me during lockdown. So then when I got that, you know, I suppose out of the way, I went back at the album. So I'd written some more songs in between. Echo On, the theme of the title track is that, you know, the old Marcus Aurelius thing, that what we do now echoes through eternity. And as you grow older and people die and stuff, you know, everything you do echoes on in somewhere or other. This energy never dies, so it echoes on.
And you've worked with some big names throughout the years, and I know you have a lovely duet, Smells Like a Teen Spirit, with the duet there with Andrea Corr.
With Andrea Corr for a Trevor Horn album. Trevor Horn, of course, is the great 80s producer, and not just the 80s, but he's the man who sang a video Killed the Radio Star in Buggles and went on to produce Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Relax, Owner of a Lonely Heart, Seal, Rod Stewart, it goes on and on. So, Trevor came and saw me play at St. Pancras Church in London and enjoyed the show. And he got me to do Smells Like Teen Spirit on an album with some of the artists I named. It's the Deutschland Grammophon record, where they put orchestras to classics. And so I did Smells Like Teen Spirit myself, and with Andrea Corr we did White Wedding. Seal is on the album, Iggy Pop, wow. Rick Astley, Tori Amos, not name dropping, but they are on the album. So so that's a thrill. Yeah, so that's kind of the latest thing that's been out. So that's kind of opened me up to a whole new audience again. And that's kind of how it goes, you know, in this old biz, if you like to call it. You know, it's a juxtaposition of words, music and business. But, you know, the more you get out and play and meet people and do things, the more things happen. So yeah. It's nice to be involved in such a big project like Trevor's album.
You're definitely a keen storyteller in your songs, and you've a great way with words, and so too is true for your participation in the Canterville Ghost soundtrack.
Oh, that was an interesting one, yeah, with Eimear Noone, who was a great composer who... I think she lives around this
from
direction,
Galway, yeah.
Actually.
From Galway, yeah,
she's from Galway, yeah. And Eimear asked me to sing on the Canterville Ghost. They had a song... that was I did a column animation of the Canterville Ghosts, which was an Oscar Wilde children's story, I think that's correct. And it was Hugh Grant and Fry and Laurie were getting back together for the first time, so they had a song where I got to play I got to play the ghost and got to be Satan, and I got to be two people. Check it out on Spotify. It's I got to do this voice. I have many voices.
But you do have a great voice, both singing and talking. I know you've had experience in the radio world as well.
Yeah, I've done a few. The best thing I did on the radio was a thing with Julie Feeney a few years back. It was the History of Recorded Song, which was like, 20 something hours of shows from Edison to the iPod. So now it would be Edison to the iCloud, I suppose. So that was very, very interesting, for someone who's so interested in music I've dialed in and out of radio over the years and I like it. But essentially, I love playing music. I love live shows. I love the whole idea of getting up in the morning and traveling somewhere, setting up your circus tent and doing the show. And there's something very, there's great work satisfaction, if you like, in the sense of achievement. Also, music is a big bam for people. It's a great escapism. It can be looked at spiritually or energy-wise, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just nice for people to get out and be distracted from all the constant stuff we're seeing happening around the world, which, we've never experienced seeing everything in real time like this before because of the internet. So it's enhanced, but I suppose the world was always crazy, which we need to remember, but the world was always beautiful as well. So we must remember that too.
Mm. And you've released a number of albums throughout the years. How has your work changed in this latest one, Echo On?
Well, yeah, I can work a studio now pretty much so on my own, so I can create, when I started, it was CDs, there was even tapes, and so to see it change in that way, to become more digital, and then for music to become essentially free, which is bonkers, because, as far as I'm aware, bakers still get paid for their bread, so musicians should get paid for their music, but they don't. Are very to such a minute way that it's laughable. So to see that all change, was very interesting. But also recording wise, it has, like everything, it's become easier for you to do it yourself. So I can spend a lot more time, I suppose, working on stuff. Whereas years ago, you'd have to hire studios, and I don't know which is better. I can definitely. I can play more instruments, I can work more machinery, I can record more stuff. So that's probably changed, home studios and things like that, as regards your recording output. Next to that, you're always trying to stretch yourself, song-wise, you're always trying to write, the great love story, the great epic, or the great social commentary, or it doesn't change much in that respect, but I suppose you settle into yourself more as you go along. You're not double guessing what you're doing. You know who you are and you know what you're doing, and you become more fully formed when you're starting out, as I did in my late teens, and kind of became, I suppose, known in my early 20s. You're still trying to remember, you're still trying to learn, you're on a constant learning curve, and everybody is giving you advice, so you kind of have to, you learn to trust your own instinct and know when to take advice, basically.
Yeah, but I suppose the other side of that is you get to have all your own stamp on it.
Yes, I think that's important, with music, that, and especially if we've been lucky enough to be doing it as long as I've been doing it for nearly 30 years now, that, you get a pure artist who's doing, it's a person and this is what they're doing. There's no, I have no big companies telling me what to do or no one pushing me anywhere. And I've always kind of meant, I've always essentially been an independent artist. I am indie in the purest sense because I've always done everything myself. But people don't view it that way, maybe because big record companies will tell them this is indie that we've created, but I am actually indie.
Very good. Now, you've played a lot of big festivals and stages throughout the years, but coming to Galway in the Town Hall Theatre, it's a lovely venue and very intimate.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of my favourite places to play. Galway over the years has always been obviously a great music town. So it was always a great thrill to come here and play music and to get the reception that and the love for music that has always been in this town. It was always very inspiring, It really, it inspired you to go on and do more stuff, and just make more music, basically. And the Town Hall Theatre is fantastic. I mean, I love the great thing that happened, during the Celtic Tiger, is that all the theatres around the country, and with technology getting better, that they all got big screens, all got better sound systems. So when I do a show, I have a lot of, really cool visuals now, like AI generated visuals that are really 3D kind of thing. Wow. So the whole, I always try to keep, the show to enhance the songs and stuff. So to play venues like the Town Hall Theatre, where you can use the projections and use those amazing sound systems, it's better than it's ever been, really,
People can get tickets on tht.ie and also at jacklukeman.com. You're going to play us out with Magic Days and Magic Ways. Tell us about this song from your second last album.
Well, it's just a positive affirmation, I suppose. Yeah, Magic Days was the album before Echo On. And it's a little old love song, just trying to get someone up, out and about, and assure them that everything will be okay, which it will be.
Jack L, thank you for joining us in Galway Talks, and you can play us out with Magic Days and Magic Ways in your own time.
To speak, but I can't say a word. I know I'm growing old disgracefully. The spotlight's on, it's plain to see. You're like an angel glowing in the dark. So don't stop receiving. The signal's loud and clear. Just start. Everybody knows your name, the good, the true, the beautiful, the vagabonds, the liars, and the thieves. You know you got so many pairs of shoes, but still you don't go anywhere. You just sit around counting broken dreams. So don't stop receiving. Signals loud.
Thank you very much. What a beautiful way to end today's programme. That's it from the programme from today, though. My thanks to Darren Kelly, who produced, and Siobhan, who took your calls on reception. And we're back with our election debates tonight with Keith Finnegan. And tonight is the turn of Galway West, so all of you in the city, do tune in for that. That's between 6 and 8 this evening. Get your texts and WhatsApps in for questions for our candidates on 086 38 33 553. It's already very busy. Tomorrow morning, we're looking at a number of issues, like share, scroll on release date for World Environment Day. Heather Humphreys is officially reopening the Ballinasloe Town Hall Theatre on Thursday. Galway Cheerleaders feature a new documentary in cinemas this Friday. Eamonn Noone and the National Symphony Orchestra to play Leisureland Galway on the 22nd of May. And elsewhere, La Culture Castle is set to welcome athletes for a spectacular weekend of endurance racing. And we have History Talks. That's it from this morning. Ronan Lardner is up next with the Livewire. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.